today, and this is such a, I think, such a vital subject, because we're going to talk about restoring family, restoring family life, fractured relationships, you know, splintered relationships. We are living in a day and age of broken homes and fractured families. We have fatherless homes. We have rebellious children, abusive relationships, drug addictions, alcohol problems. Those things are kind of running rampant in homes today. They're big issues. How many of you know the devil hates family? Amen. He hates family. Family is God's idea. Family is God's design. That's why the devil hates family. Now, as pastors, we often minister to people who are dealing with family dissension or severed family relationships. In our prayer, our prayer group that meets on Wednesday mornings, you know, we go over the prayer requests that have been submitted. And so many of those prayer requests are dealing with issues in the family. You know, pray for my family. Pray for unity in my home. Pray for peace in my family. I mean, just the list just goes on and on, because it's a big, big issue. All kind of problems. But I'm here to tell you today, no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, no matter what it may be, you can claim a new future for your family. And I believe in 2020, we ought to believe God for all of our family members. And they may not even, they may be so far away from God. You know, I mean, they may be just totally bound by the things of this world. But I am here to tell you today, we can claim a new future for our family. And there are things that we can do. There are action steps that we can take, I believe, that will bring the breakthrough. So I think we ought to do it. Amen? Let's do what God says to do, and let's believe him for the victory. I want to give you this this teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, because he talks about the home. He talks about the family, you know, that we must build our house on a strong foundation. So he says, therefore, this is Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Kind of, it sounds like it's kind of describing Katrina, doesn't it? But thank God it may have beat us down, but it didn't take us out. Thank God. Amen. So Jesus says that, you know, the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, and it beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, excuse me, it fell with a great crash. What an incredible illustration. One builds wisely, one builds foolishly. The Lord God has a lot to say about our home, our family. And we must, my friends, we must absolutely, positively engage what God has said in his word to see breakthrough in our families. I am telling you, all over America, there are families that need restoration. Right here in these local communities, there are families that need restoration. I believe even represented in the congregation of West Point Church that there are families that need restoration. So we are going to believe God in 2020 to restore family life. I want to give you another scripture. I read this one a lot when I do baby dedications. And it's an Old Testament passage. And it was spoken specifically to the fathers, because the fathers were commissioned with the spiritual responsibility to lead the home and lead the family. And my friends, can I tell you that still applies today? Amen. That we need men of God who will stand at the forefront, take the mantle of leadership of spiritual authority, and lead their families, lead their children, be leaders. It is such a need in this hour in which we are living. So these verses primarily were spoken and committed to the fathers, to the men. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." All right, so first of all, we got to get it in us. So in 2020, ask yourself, is it in me? Is the life of his word on the inside of me? If it's not, you got to get it in there. If not, you won't be able to follow this action point, because he said right here, it's got to be in your heart. "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Then you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So the word has to be in us. So that brings me to the first thing that I want to submit to you today. In 2020, if we are going to see family restored, if we're going to build our homes on a solid foundation, we have to read the word of God, and we have to pray the word of God. And every one of us can do that. You don't have to be a Bible teacher. You don't have to be a theologian. All of us can read the word of God, and we can pray the word of God. And in this year, let's engage it. Let's do it. And my friend, if we do, we will see the victory and the blessing of it. Now, I want you to consider, and all of us are probably familiar with the Lord's Prayer. If you went to a Catholic church or were in catechism or in a Catholic school, you definitely learned the Lord's Prayer. Maybe in Sunday school, you recited the Lord's Prayer. I think most people are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught it. And in the Lord's Prayer, he gave us that request when he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So I want you to think about that for a second. Have you ever really considered that? Have you ever thought about that statement? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I think so many times we think of that statement and we relate it to the future. You know, that there's going to be a day when the kingdom of God comes to earth and everything will be submissive to the Lord's authority. However, if we consider what Jesus was teaching, he was teaching them the pattern of prayer. He was giving them a model prayer. So I don't really think that Jesus was causing them or encouraging them to believe in the second coming. Because remember, he's teaching them how to pray. He's giving them the pattern for prayer. All right, so when he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that must be something that we can incorporate, amen, in our prayer life, in our daily walk with the Lord. So I believe this is key, a key truth, a key ingredient. Read the Word of God, pray the Word of God. He said, get it in your heart in Deuteronomy 6, and then talk about it. Teach it to your children. Do you realize that we have a responsibility to build our homes on the foundation of Jesus Christ? The church will assist in that, but it's not the church's primary responsibility. It is the responsibility of the parents. It is the responsibility of mothers and fathers. We must incorporate that. We must do that work. And I believe that's why this is such a key principle. When you pray the Word of God, my friend, you are declaring the Word of God in the earthly realm. And you are fulfilling, I believe, the requests of Jesus in the model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when I get the Word of God in me, and then I begin to verbally pray it. My friends, do you do that? If not, I want to encourage you, make it a practice in your life. Speak it. There's something about speaking the Word of God. Speak it. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 6 is saying. He said, talk of it. Speak it. Declare it. Read the Word. Pray the Word. When you pray the Word of God, you are bringing His power to be released in the earthly realm. So there is power and there is anointing that is being released over your home, over your family, over your marriage, because you are getting it inside of you and then you're praying it. And as you pray it, something supernatural is happening. Because when you pray it, when you pray the Word of God, you are shaping your own mind by the truth of the Scripture. So in essence, you really are renewing your own mind. You're building your own faith. You are encouraging yourself. See, when you pray the Word of God, you are coming into agreement with God. And when you come into agreement with God, His power is released to answer your prayer. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if my words abide in you. Are y'all with me? He said, if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Do we really understand that promise? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, that seems like saying that our will be done. No, not really. Because think of it. He said, if my words abide in you. All right, so if His word abides in us, then the Lord's prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when that happens, we really simply become vessels of the will of God being executed on the earth, into the earthly realm. And my friend, that's how miracles are released. That's how breakthroughs take place. And I believe we are missing a lot of supernatural action because we are not in the Word and we're not praying it. So in 2020, I want to encourage you and challenge you. Get in the Word of God and get the Word of God in you and pray it every day of your life. I believe you can pray it over your finances. If you're broke, I believe you can be fixed. If your income is a fixed income, I believe it can become unfixed. Amen? Hallelujah. Because God is a God of release. He releases. See, that's why we teach the principle of tithing. You know, it's not something that people have to do. You know, it's rooted in Old Testament theology. Jesus commended the or challenged the religious leaders, you know, and rebuked them really because they were doing all these religious works, and they thought because they were great tithers that they had special privilege with God. And Jesus said, you know, it's got to be done from the heart. He always dealt with the issue of the heart, you know, but he did say, you know, tithing is something that you should do, you know, but it's got to be, if we just do it as a ritual, you know, we're missing the key of it, right? You know, but if we are dealing with financial shortage, financial difficulty, I am here to tell you that you can pray the word of God, because the word of God says that I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. All right. Now, a lot of people want to pray that, but they don't want to come into alignment with it. Hello, somebody. Okay, because we come into alignment with it when we began to do what it says previous, and he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Then I will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing. Oh, I might preach in this second service today. Hallelujah. I wasn't as fired up in the 9 o'clock service, but I'm fired up now. Amen. So if we come into alignment, any area in our life, what about healing? I believe we can speak healing over our lives. Get a verse of scripture. Speak it over your sickness. Speak it over your disease. I believe we ought to take the limits off God and believe God for victory and miracles. Get it inside of you. Get it working inside of you. And then pray it every day of your life. That's why I always pray Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Acts, it's Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. He takes his text from the book of Joel, and he begins to preach. And he reads from Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. I pray it all the time. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They will speak the word of God. Hallelujah. That's what it's promising. Amen. Your young men will have visions. Old men will dream dreams. He said, on the servants and on the handmaidens will I pour out in those days. I pray that. I pray that over my children. I pray that over my grandchildren. I pray that over the ministry of West Point Church. I pray it over the United States of America. I pray it over the entire world. I pray it regularly. I would encourage you, pray it too. Amen. Pray it over your spouse. Pray it over your mother or your father. Pray it over your own sons and daughters. Declare it. Get the word. Pray the word. And let's watch the miracles happen. We're talking about restoring family life. Let me move on. I got five things to give you. Here's the second one. See, we have to live by conviction. Now, that's a missing element in today's world, because we are living in a day and age where people are doing whatever feels right. Whatever they want to do, they do. Now, they don't live by conviction. But you and I, if you're a born-again child of God, you live by conviction. There should be conviction in your life. Amen? You have to live by what God's word says, of what his word declares. See, to live by conviction means that we have established godly standards in our homes. I love this verse in the book of Titus, chapter 1, in verse 9. He's giving qualifications for elders in the local church. And one of the things that he's talking about is that they have to live by a certain value system. So in verse 9, this is Titus chapter 1, verse 9, he says that they should hold fast to the faithful word. All right? So they got to hold fast to the word, just what we were just talking about under the first principle. Hold fast to the faithful word, that he may be able by sound doctrine, that comes from the word, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So you see the word convict? Now, if you go to the Gospel of John, when Jesus in John chapter 16 talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said his primary function is going to be to convince the world. Some newer translations use the word convict. It means the same thing. See, because the word convict, it means to convince of truth. That's what Jesus said. He said when the Holy Spirit is come, he is going to convince people of sin. In other words, he's going to convict them or convince them of truth. That's what the word convict means. To convince of truth, to reprove, to accuse, to refute, or to cross-examine. The world does not live by any conviction. If you are a born-again child of God, you should be living by conviction. If you're not living by conviction, then somewhere the world has gotten a hold of you. And you need to get that spirit out. That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have to get that out. See, I live with conviction. If I want to see family restored, I have to set a standard. So there are certain things that we do not allow in our homes. There are certain movies that won't come in. There's certain music that we won't participate in. There's certain video games. Yes, even video games that should be measured by a standard of godliness. That's why society today is crumbling. If you don't realize it, society's crumbling. Because there's no standards. Now think about it. If there's no standards, then everybody just does what they want to do. Amen? If you're in love with your dog, you pretty soon will probably be able to marry him or her. It sounds foolish, but you would be surprised of the things that are going on. Because when people have no standard, they turn away from God's righteous law, and they have no standards, and they have no conviction, people do whatever they want to do. Amen. Because there's no conviction. So if we're going to see restoration of family, there must be conviction. That means there's godly standards in our home, godly standards in our lives. There are godly standards of language and conduct toward one another. If there are godly standards in our home, we should not be allowing anger and disrespect to flourish in our home. See, godly standards are set by conviction. And conviction is truth that has taken root on the inside. So how am I going to have conviction? I got to get the word. Amen? I got to get the word. The more word I get in me, the more conviction that I'm going to have. Because the word of God, see, the Holy Spirit is going to use that word to shape your mind, your worldview, your entire life. It will be shaped and formed by the word of God. And I'm here to tell you, with all of the churches we have in America, all the radio ministries, all the television ministries, all of the books and Bibles that are made available to us, it has not helped to counter biblical illiteracy. There are people that do not know the scripture. My friends, we must not be in that number. Amen. We must be learning and growing and renewing constantly in the Word of God, because that's how we build on a solid foundation. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, you can be wise or you can be foolish. Let's build wisely and believe God that we are going to see our families saved, restored. They may have been raised in the church, may have known the scriptures from a child, but they've walked away from it. You know, I am here to tell you, we can believe God for them today. They're coming home. How many prodigals are out there? Let's believe God for the prodigals. They're coming home. Amen. They're coming back to Jesus. Hallelujah. But the key dynamic is, see, you got to get your life in alignment with God. Because if you're not in alignment with God, then you have no power. You have no authority. And that's why I always say the devil's after our authority. Amen. If he can steal your authority, then he steals your miracle. He steals your breakthrough. And he will steal your marriage and he will steal your family. Can I get an amen? So you got to stand strong, my friend. Set the standard. I'm going to live by the conviction of God's holy word. Hallelujah. Restored. Fractured families. Restored. Estranged relationships. Restored. I mean, we've seen high profile examples of fractured families. It's all in our world. Move on to the next thing. Here's the next one I want you to get. We must live by the forgiveness rule. Let forgiveness rule in your home. Now, all of us, from time to time, we might get upset. Right? You people don't get upset? I'll put you in touch with some people that have made... They'll upset you. You might work with somebody that just kind of rubs you the wrong way. And they're rubbing you with coarse grit sandpaper. Right? Even in your home, in your family. Listen, anger is a big deal. And it controls so many people's lives. But I love this verse of scripture in Ephesians 4. And this is a guideline right here to restore families, fragmented families, estranged relationships. He says, do not be bitter or angry or mad. Did you ever do something to your wife or your husband and they give you the cold shoulder? None of y'all. Okay, some of y'all are being honest here today. All right. You get. I just want to make sure y'all still with me. That cold shoulder, I mean, it's just, wasn't there a rock song years ago, Cold as Ice? Some of y'all in the heyday might remember that. I think that was a Journey song or something. But y'all, y'all might remember, she's cold as ice. Sometimes kind of feels like our wives when we upset them, right? Amen. Not mine, you know, but some of y'all's. Hey, listen, I'm up here preaching and teaching this stuff, so we got to keep it. Everything's good between us, baby. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we all go through that because you're angry. And because you're angry, I'm not talking to you right now. That's basically the philosophy, right? You sure are quiet. Well, I'm not talking to you right now. You may not say it, but you're saying it. Amen. Until, you know, it gets a little better. You know, Becky might, she might sometimes, you know, get upset with me about something. I say, oh, come on, baby, please, don't treat me like that, baby. You know, I can usually sweet talk her and smooth everything out, you know, sometimes, most of the time. But he says, don't be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout. This is huge. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt somebody. That's huge. That is so huge. Because how many times do we say something to somebody because we might be jealous of something, maybe even some blessing that they have received, and we want to just insert a negative thought, you know, or some kind of little slam, you know, because it boils down to they got blessed and we didn't. Anybody ever been there? Listen, y'all don't have to confess these things today. I already know it's working, okay? You know, so he says, don't do that. You know, don't shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. Man, if we build our families on that principle right there, man, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed. Kind of reminds me of a story Jesus told. He gave us a parable. He said there was this guy that owed the landowner, the landlord or whatever, owed him some money. And he couldn't pay the debt. And, you know, so the landowner says, that's okay. He says, don't worry about it. You ever had anybody borrow money from you? And then you have trouble getting it back? Yeah, I loaned some money about 3 years ago. And it was $600. Loaned it to a family member. And he said, I'm going to pay you back. And he got his check in the first month, and he gave me, I think, $200. And he said, I'm going to give you the rest when I get my next check. All right, so then after that, then he was avoiding me like the plague. And because then I knew he didn't want to pay up. So then it went a long time, didn't see him. Then I ran into him in the grocery store. And it was like, he was just, oh man, I still owe you that money. He said, I'm going to give it to you when I get my next check. And I said, brother, I said, listen, don't worry about it. I said, don't even worry about it. I said, God has blessed my life. I said, don't even worry about it. You know, just be blessed. And I relieve you of the burden of it. You know, so, sometimes you just need to do that kind of thing, you know, and man, he was so, he was so grateful for that. You know, Jesus told a story about that. You know, the landowner, you know, he tells the guy that owed him all this money, he said, you know what, don't worry about it. So then he goes on his way, and then he finds somebody that owes him money. All right, so then what does he do? He grabs him by the throat, and he said, you better give me that money, or I'm going to bust your face in. Kind of paraphrasing a little bit, okay? But that's basically what was happening. And then Jesus said, that's evil and that's wicked. He said, that guy, he was just forgiven a great debt. He should have did the same. All right, so Jesus is, or Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians, he said, because Christ has forgiven us, man, we ought to always be willing and ready to forgive everybody. Amen. Anybody that needs it, just let forgiveness rule. And man, if we do that, we are going to be blessed. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see restoration. All right, here's the four. We're almost done. Here's the fourth one. You got to keep your house guarded. Does anybody here go to bed at night and leave your door wide open? You close it? Do you lock it? Do you leave the back door open? You lock it. Do you leave windows open? What about your car? 3 o'clock in the morning, I had a detective ring the doorbell. And I was like, Lord, I don't know if I should answer this door or not. And, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood. And, I said, well, I'm just going to, I don't have a gun. I have a gun, but I didn't have a gun ready. You know, and I really wasn't at 3 o'clock in the morning looking forward to shooting somebody, you know. But I mean, you just don't know. I mean, who's going to knock at your door at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So I opened the door, and we have several law enforcement people that live in our neighborhood. And this guy is a detective, and he lived several houses down from us. And then, you know, I recognize him. And he said, yeah, I just got off of work. And he said, your truck door is open. He said, it's wide open. And he said that you might want to come see if somebody broke into it. So I went out there and I said, no, I said, that was my son. went out to my truck, and that boy just left the door wide open, inviting all the thieves to just come in and steal all the personal, the thousands of dollars that I have under the seat. Now, y'all know I don't have thousands of dollars under the seat, but I keep about $20. But don't tell anybody, because I use that for the ice machine when I go fishing. And I got to have that. It's very, very important, $20. Trust me, $1 bills. But we don't go to sleep at night with leaving things open, right? Because we live in an evil world and people commit evil things. But what about in the spiritual sense? In John chapter 14, Jesus said, he said, the thief is coming. He said, the prince of this world is coming. And he has nothing over me or nothing in me. All right, so the ruler of this world, the prince of this world, Peter said it this way. He said, the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So is our house guarded? And I'm not talking in the physical sense. I'm talking in the spiritual sense. Look at this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, so then let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the rest of the world does. But let us keep wide awake, alert and cautious. And let us be sober, self-controlled, calm and wise. He's given us some incredible instruction here. He's talking about in a spiritual sense. That we should have our spiritual life on fire, moving forward. That means that we are guarding our life. We are guarding what goes into our eye gate. We're guarding what goes into our ear gate. We're guarding those things that would try to infiltrate us. We're guarding against anything that would try to come into our family, into our home. We are sentries. We are on guard duty. Are y'all with me? As believers, my friends, that's a key principle. And if we will engage that, see, it's all about building your house and keeping your house where it needs to be. Keep it guarded. Keep it spiritually moving forward. How many are not doing that? And they allow something to come in because they have not kept guard. So he says, keep guard. All right, here's the fifth and concluding thing. This one's huge. Maintain a spirit of unity. Keep that. There must be unity. If there's not unity in a marriage, then there will be dissension. If there's not unity in a home, in a family, there will be dissension. Amen? So we must have a spirit of unity. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Unity must be in our homes. It must be in our marriages and our families. Unity must be in the local church. Then 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. Perfectly united. Unity. Unity. You want to see restoration? Get these five things operating. Engage them in your life, and I guarantee you, you will reap the benefit of it.